295.
Accept the audit of the city comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year 2013-2014 and the related communications with those charged with governance and adopt the management response to correct the deficiency in financial reporting controls disclosed in the audit.
Auditor Caballero, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. I am City Auditor Mary Hall Caballero. It is my pleasure today to introduce Jim Lanzarotta, a partner in the accounting firm of Moss Adams, which conducted the audit of the city's fiscal year 2014 financial statements. The city's financial statements are important resources for community members, taxpayers, investors, and decision makers to understand what fiscal shape the city is in at a moment in time. Once management has prepared the statements, Oregon law and city charter require an independent audit be conducted to determine if the public can reasonably be assured that they fairly represent the financial position of the city. The city entered into a contract with Moss Adams, a licensed municipal firm, to conduct this assessment, and my office oversees that contract. This arrangement ensures that the outside auditors have an extra measure of independence from the managers whose work is being audited. I'd like to acknowledge Director of Audit Services Drummond Kahn and Principal Auditor Fiona Earle for administering the contract and acting as liaisons between the bureaus and Moss Adams. And I will now turn it over to Mr. Lanzarotta to walk you through the results.
Morning.
Morning. Mayor Hales, fellow commissioners, thanks for the opportunity to come before you. This kind of completes the audit process, so it allows us to follow through with the applicable audit standards that we're to apply, which is, hey, we better report to those that are required to govern this fine city. So this enables me to do that. I'll talk about what it was that you hired Moss Adams to do, and then obviously what were the results. And so when we think of an audit, I like to put it in about five phases to it. And the first phase, I think, you really have a great understanding of. So we're required to come in and kind of verify whether these numbers are accurate and the disclosures are accurate. So you look at source documents, we, you know, talk to third parties, the bank that holds your funds, verify. So that's pretty commonly understood. A second phase is to look at the internal controls or those checks and balances that management uses to make sure that they can put this document together accurately. So we have an obligation to look at those controls and tell you if there are significant deficiencies in those. Mary mentioned that since you're an Oregon municipal corporation, you're also required to follow quite a few state laws that are unique to cities and governmental entities. And as your auditor, I'm required by state law to then test your compliance with about 7 or 8 specific areas, like legal and budget, you know, your whole budget process and how you do that, public purchasing, the types of accounts that you put cash and investments in, those kinds of things. And I have an obligation to report to you if there were any findings of noncompliance. So that's a third phase. A fourth phase, since you get federal grants, you do very well at obtaining federal dollars to help you provide services here at the city. So that's a big part of your operating budget. Well, when you get federal grants, you also are saying that you have to comply. You agree to comply with certain requirements. And as your auditor, I have to test whether, in fact, you're meeting some of those additional compliance requirements that are unique to those grants and report that to you. And then the last area, as Ken mentioned, you're able to produce this document. It's pretty surprising. There's probably between 80 and 90,000 entities that are required to follow these standards and put this document together, and a majority of them are unable to produce this document with the expertise that they have in-house. So you're very fortunate that you've got quite a, you know, cadre of individuals in accounting and finance that have the skills and knowledge to do this. So our job can really be focused on the audit work behind it, verifying that it's accurate and not in the preparation or production of it. So that technical review and assistance to your staff in meeting those requirements. Ken also mentioned the certificate of excellence that you submit under the Government Finance Officers Association, there's additional bells and whistles that are pretty significant that you have to incorporate in your financials to achieve that award. So it's a great honor to now be 30 plus years, I think Ken mentioned, in achieving that award. And our review, in addition to the GAAP requirements, looks to make sure that you're meeting those additional GFOA requirements. But your staff does a phenomenal job in meeting the basics plus those additional requirements. So that's what we do, kind of in a way of looking at it. So what were the results? And Ken already took the punchline out. I mean, the best news is on page 21 of this document is our opinion on the financial statements. And Ken mentioned it's an unmodified opinion. We didn't have to modify it for any exceptions to generally accepted accounting principles. So that's a great achievement. You probably take it for granted here now because you've achieved that milestone for many years in a row now. But that's not an easy milestone to maintain. And so very appreciative of the expertise that you have in-house and the policies you've set and the controls you have in place that enable you to put together this document accurately year in and year out. So that's that piece. I mentioned that we have to look at your internal controls and were there any deficiencies. And you might remember that we've had a number of deficiencies that we brought to your attention in prior years. Most of the time it seems to be centered around capital assets. That's a very tricky area with our governmental clients. And again, this year we had just one significant deficiency regarding the Bureau of Transportation. And it really has to do with a timing issue of when they recognize a project in process, a project that takes some time to complete. So they start a project, they're incurring costs. When the project is done, it needs to be transferred to a final capital asset position. In the meantime, it's in a special account where costs get accumulated. And we identified that there are times when there's a lack of communication between the folks that manage these projects and those that have to do the accounting for your financial reporting to know when a project is done and all the costs need to come out of this holding account and into a final capital asset account. So it's a matter of just getting it recognized, and then it's placed in service, you begin recording the depreciation or the wear and tear through depreciation deduction. So it's important to know when an asset is in fact placed in service so you can begin recognizing the cost of its use in your operations. And then there were a few projects where you get started, but for whatever reason, they don't get completed, and those costs need to come out of this construction in progress account. And there were a few instances where, for whatever reason, projects were not completed, but the costs remained in there as if they were still ongoing projects. So there's just some communication and some work that might be done in that area. So that was this year's control finding. All issues we brought to your attention in the past have been resolved. And so that's the only one. So again, I think that shows improvement. And so that's good news. I mentioned these state laws that we're required to test your compliance with. And this year, we had no findings. This may be the first year, one of the most common types of findings we have with budgets specifically is over expenditures. It's very hard with all the funds that you manage. Invariably, there's somewhere where you overspend the appropriated budget for a particular line item within one of your funds. And this year, you didn't have any of those. It's also common to trip up in certain other areas of budget law amongst our governmental clients here in Oregon, and there were none there for you. So really good news on a number of fronts. The deposit of public money, you've met all the requirements there. Public purchasing, we didn't find any noncompliance there. The budget, as I mentioned, insurance elements. And then finally, the grants area was the other. And this year, again, probably maybe the first time in many years, we had absolutely no findings with your compliance with grant programs. So great news there. So the administration of the federal grants is done very well. As you know, you're decentralized. You have many bureaus. There's many individuals involved in the administration of your federal grants. And to have compliance throughout the city for the various programs we tested is a great milestone for you to achieve, especially after prior years where we have had a few findings relative to your compliance requirements. And then finally, we did issue a letter to you, which I think is in your packet. We call it a communication to those charged with governance, and I'm not going to go over all of it. Most of that has the elements in it, and hopefully you've had a chance to read it. There's just a couple areas that I might highlight in there. Most of our governing boards want to know maybe a couple things. One is, geez, did we have any audit adjustments? Were there any particular issues? And we did not propose any audit adjustments. So any corrections that were determined to be necessary in closing the books and preparing this document, your staff identified already through their fiscal year-end processes. So we had no audit adjustments. There were a few errors that were immaterial or minor to your financial statements, which were not corrected, and those are listed in that letter to you. And again, they relate primarily to capital assets. You might remember that in prior years, we noted a deficiency in controls over certain capital assets the city owns that were not recognized in your books. And in the past, that generally stemmed from properties that were donated to you, and they just didn't get picked up. So Parks, for example, has a number of properties that they've received over the years that sometimes don't get picked up and reflected in your financial statements. So they still have a few properties that they're working on getting recorded, but that's what's noted in there. There's a few more properties that they know that they own, and they're not yet booked, and I believe hopefully the rest of that will get on the books in this year, fiscal year that you're in right now. And we don't note that as a control deficiency. We have in the past because they've changed their processes now, and the process over that is working. So that will correct itself. Another area that governing boards like to know is, geez, did we have any difficulties in working with management or others in the performance of our work? And we're very pleased to tell you we didn't have any of that. I mean, if, for example, if we're asking questions and we're not getting responses, or if it feels like, you know, we're being directed or misdirected, you know, you'd want to know that. And we've never experienced that. Your accounting staff, and to me, they're very anxious to kind of learn best practices or to work well with us. It's a nice team environment to get through the audit process, and very much appreciate the dedication and effort that they put into that. We've never had difficulties there. We also like to tell you if we had any disagreements. I mean, are there disagreements over the application of accounting standards or any of that? And we're happy to tell you that we had no such disagreements working with your staff. The last item I'd mention is, again, over this, you know, Ken did a phenomenal job, I think, of talking with you about the declining net position. And you'll remember that we brought that issue up and included it in this letter last year. And this year, it's in there, but primarily for the purpose to tell you what actions management has taken. And Ken probably did a pretty good job of that. I think with the pension issue, your biggest weapon is to go out and look at the sufficiency of that property tax on a periodic basis. So it's really good news that the latest round of evaluating that shows a very slim chance that your property tax revenue would be insufficient to cover the benefit payments in the future. So that's phenomenal. And doing that monitoring work is exactly the kind of thing that that seems like would address that risk. So appreciative of management's effort to monitor that and look for that. The capital assets is the other piece, as Ken mentioned, and you know, it looks like you're well on your way. I know you've been working on a dedicated revenue stream for some of this infrastructure, and just being aware of the issue and being supportive of management as they work with you to address that issue is a great start on that problem. So the particular issues there, I think you've got some good direction, and looks like you're well on your way to trying to address that problem. So really, those are my remarks. I guess the one last piece I would say, again, it talks to Ken's comment about the timeliness of getting the financial statement prepared. You know, for various reasons, when we were out in September talking to management, I think at that time they were probably about 4 weeks behind where they wanted to be able to issue the financials by mid-December, which was the plan. And they implemented that new caseware software that Ken mentioned, and they made up those 4 weeks, and we were still able to issue by December 19 or somewhere around there. And so your crew did a phenomenal job of kind of re-engineering the financial close process and producing this document and making up all that time. It's a testament to the level of dedication of your accounting staff to get there. And so we certainly acknowledge their efforts. Just wanted to report that to you. With that, I guess I'd be open to whatever questions you might have.
Questions? Dan, please.
You talk about risk to the financial position of the city, and you talk about the provision of discounts and of the city's accounts receivable.
I'm sorry, what document are you looking at?
On page 3.
Of the letter?
Of the letter, yeah. Talks about the most sensitive estimates affecting the financial statements, the provision for discounts and allowances on the city's accounts and loans receivable. So I guess,
yeah, okay,
I'm just curious what
sure.
You're talking about there.
Sure. So you're commenting on this letter, the communication to those charged with governance, and the various topics here that we're required to cover with you. One of them is financial statement disclosures, and so we're telling you here these are some of the more sensitive financial statement disclosures that you might want to look at. And one of those is just to remind you, you do have estimates. There are estimates in the financial statements. And in the area of your accounts receivable, one of the estimates is what is the portion you won't collect. The appropriate accounting principles are that you may be owed a certain amount, but history tells you not everyone's going to pay their bill. And so the amount you reflect in the financials needs to be net of that estimate of the amount you won't collect. And this is just telling you, hey, there are estimates in there. That receivable and the uncollectible portion is an estimate. And so we're just pointing out that. And then there are other things in here we're pointing out, like, you know, the long-term debt. That's an area that's sometimes a very significant disclosure in your financials. The pension and OPEB programs are significant disclosures. There's nothing positive or negative about this other than telling you where there might be some significant disclosures that you might want to look at in the financials.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, other questions?
Just wondered if either Odisha Caballero or Drummond Karn has further comments.
You know, I do not have further comments. Drummond, do you have any? Okay.
And is the final be it resolved where the city adopts and endorses the city's management response, that's referencing Exhibit D, so it's that singular issue with transportation, and that's corrected?
Yeah, I should have mentioned that. I think that is the intent for you to look at PBOT's response. So anytime we have a finding, generally, I think, and it might be actually in the city's code, that you put together a management response to that. What's the plan? So PBOT has done that. And I think the city staff's looking for your approval of the plan that they've put in place.
Yeah. And I think my reaction to that would be the PBOT director has done what's required. The rest is up to us. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you all. Anyone want to testify on this report? No? Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. That's the kind of report that I was speaking about when I was talking about item 294. That report was a conversation. It's very difficult to have a one-way conversation, but when they gave the report, it was a conversation that we all, at least I understood. I could explain that to you when I was outside this door. So that's what I was trying to point out in 294. And although we criticize, we also have to acknowledge that was an excellent report. And I think the people watching it at home, without the benefit of all the stuff that you have in front of you, could sit there and say, you know what? The auditor's report seems to indicate, whether you believe the report or not, it's another question. But it seems to indicate that we're doing pretty good. We got some minor issues that we have to tweak. That's the kind of report I think the citizens would like to have instead of all of that other stuff that 294 gave you that just confused the issue. So it's a conversation. It's very difficult to have it one way when you're given a report. But that's the way it should be. And people should be able to understand it, Mayor. You have a lot more stuff in front of you than somebody sitting home having coffee, trying to figure out what everybody is saying. And I indicate a lot of times, I quote Patty, but when I go home, I ask her, did you understand 294? Did you understand what they were saying? And I'll bet you a mocha that she would say, nope, I have a clue what they were talking about. And that, your transparency record is not good. That's one of the reasons, because you sit there and you say, this is a good report, but I have all of this information in front of me, so I understand it. Who cares about the other people? If that's your attitude, Mayor, you're in trouble. Thank you. But again, that's the kind of report that we would like to see. And I congratulate that order.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. One of the concerns I have on these reports and on the auditing process is that when we're talking the assets of the city and we're allowing certain assets to accrue deferred maintenance, that's an interesting area to look at on just how much do we have to come up with to cover those costs, because that's an area that can have this happen and then all of a sudden we have to come up with this large dollar amount. Talking about, say, the Portland building and coming up with, say, $50 to $100 million to maybe do some what I would consider deferred maintenance or maintenance that needs to be done. And I've always questioned that on these type of assets that we have within the city is that, have the auditors or the accountants ever looked at, is there an advantage to take such projects like this and maybe do a sale leaseback to where we receive a tremendous amount of money up front from, say, large private investors with also a buyback clause that we buy it back in, say, 20 years at say, fair market value? Is there any advantage on looking at that on a lot of the assets that we have within the city where we have no debt, obviously, on a lot of the assets? And is there any advantage to do a sale leaseback to private investors? As we know, the real estate market right now is very good. There tends to be a lot of money out there looking for investments. So I do question that when we, and this is past administration, I want to make this very clear, is that when we run up deferred maintenance on a lot of these assets, is there a way that we can try to correct the problems that were created in the past through a sale leaseback on some of these properties and have the potential new private investors covering a lot of this deferred maintenance within the purchase or sale leaseback agreements? So I'd like to maybe have that looked at a little bit closer and have your opinions on that. And maybe that might be an opportunity. Again, my concern always is to cut the debt down. Do not give away things when you have a tremendous amount of debt in front of you. And let outside foundations pick up the slack with individuals that want to come back to the city and pay fair market value for these properties. The city has too much debt to give anything away. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to speak? And so we'll need a motion to accept the auditor's report.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Roll call, please.
Fritz?
Well, thank you. It's very nice to have both of these together and appreciate the outside audit as well as our own city auditor's oversight of this whole process. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you very much. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you very much. Aye.
Hales.
Well, I want to appreciate the good work the auditor and her team and our outside reviewers have done. Again, for me, seeing three reports in a row, first the outside audit of our pension system, then the CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Review, and now this audit by an independent firm hired by our independent auditor, all saying essentially the same thing, which is that the City of Portland is in a sound financial basis and that without exception, our managers are managing and accounting for public funds correctly. There are not very many places in the United States of America where you can say all those things. So we should celebrate this good work. And in fact, you know, I was thinking, as Jim was talking, that a lot of the credit for the fact that there were no over expenditures and that there were no compliance issues really does need to be, we need to note that as chief executives of our portfolios of bureaus, that our bureau managers and their staffs have been doing an excellent job of following complex procedures. You know, I wish we could make state law and GASB simpler, but we can't. We have to follow these arcane requirements, but it proves that we're doing that. And then finally, I just want to appreciate especially that the letter from Moss Adams noted the change that you led, Commissioner Fritz, to dedicate a larger percentage of our one-time available ending fund balance revenues to capital expenditure, and that was called out as an improvement in our position from just last year to this. So some progress that I think we should celebrate as good council policy as well. So bravo all around. Thank you for great work, and we look forward to having three similarly tame reports in the future. Aye. Thank you all.